Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Nice to see you. Luke chapter 15, please. Luke chapter 15, and we're going to read the verses that we have been looking at, which are the verses 11, 12, and 13. It introduces this parable, known as the parable of the prodigal son. And he said, that's the Lord Jesus, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give to me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. At not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now we have begun our study of this parable by considering the prodigal's restlessness and rebellion. I said to you last week how that the devil is a restless spirit. The devil is not happy. He's not happy. He stands astride the world and he says to all in the world, you listen to me and I'll show you happiness. That's what he says. But the Lord Jesus said the devil is a liar. And that's just what he is. Because he who promises happiness to the world, if it will but listen to him, is most unhappy himself. He's a restless spirit. And that restlessness is seen, that restlessness of the devil is seen here in the actions, the attitudes of the prodigal son. He wasn't content in his father's house. He wasn't in the least content. Now, he had no grounds. We mentioned this, but I'll just remind you of it. He had no grounds for being discontent. No grounds whatsoever. He had all that he could possibly want. He had a very generous father. He had every possible comfort in that home, as he later acknowledged when he said in verse 17, in my father's house is bread enough and to spare. But that didn't stop him being discontent. And that's how it is with men. No matter what God does for sinners, no matter what God does for sinners, they're discontent with God and with God's portion. Now we're going to continue just one more point under this heading of the discontentment of the son, because I didn't get it finished. This discontentment that there was in the heart of the prodigal stemmed from, arose from, a desire for that which he couldn't find in his father's house. He was discontent because what he desired, he couldn't get in his father's house. And of course, what he desired was wrong and sinful and wicked, and he couldn't get that in his father's house. That which took man out of the Garden of Eden, away from God, and that which still takes men away from God, away from his house, away from his people, and away from his word, is that which took the prodigal away from his father's house. It is the lust in the old heart, the appetite in the old heart for sin and for iniquity. Natural man has a desire for that which God will not give him, cannot give him. Natural man, therefore, wants to get away from God. Live far away from God. The further the better. That's why we read that the prodigal son left his father's house for the far country. The far country. He didn't just move down the road. Didn't move to the next town. He got as far away as possible. Out over the horizon. As far away as possible from his father. And when we see men and women and young people turn their backs upon God and his house, it bodes ill. It bodes ill and shows that like a fish on the end of the fisherman's line and it's being reeled in, so the sinner is being reeled in, having taken the bait that the devil has put out. This discontentment then is evident in the prodigal. But the discontentment gave rise to a demand. It didn't just simmer quietly in his heart, but it caused him to speak. Look at what it says. Verse 12, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. The discontentment gives rise to this demand. I want you to notice, boys and girls, how he addressed his father. What did he call him? He called him Father. You know, God asks a question in Malachi chapter 1, in the verse 6. And it's a question that the father of the prodigal could have asked of his son. Here's what we read in Malachi chapter 1 and the verse 6. A son honoureth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honour? And if I be a master, where is my fear or my reverence? That's what God asked a wayward, sinful people who claimed that God was their father. And God was saying to them, if I'm your father, where's the honour that you should be giving to me? And likewise, the prodigal's father could say to him, if I am your father, for that's what you have just called me, why are you wanting to go away from me? Why are you wanting to get out of my presence and out of my company? Boys and girls, the world is filled with this spirit of hypocrisy. The world is filled with it. And it's especially evident every Lord's Day when people go into a place of worship. And in that place of worship, they will, in some way or other, whether it's in public prayer or in a hymn they sing, they will call God Father. There's not an Episcopal church, or as we would know them, there's not a Church of Ireland church, but every Sunday morning they recite the Lord's Prayer, and they all say it together most piously, Our Father which art in heaven. And I can almost hear God saying to each and every one of them, if I'm your father, where's your honour for me? Because as soon as you leave this building and go out, you go out to a world of sin, and you enter that world and you live in sin. You live in sin. Outside those churches you'll see men getting their cigarettes out and lighting them up. On the way home they stop and they maybe shop. They certainly buy the Sunday newspapers. And all the time God is saying, you called me Father. Where's the honour that someone who says they are my son should be giving to me? The prodigal says, Father, give me the portion that belongeth to me. He could well have said, Father, I want to get away from you. So he was misusing this term. He wasn't acting toward his father as a son should act. He thought he'd be better off away from his father. He thought he would be much happier away from his father. He thought he could handle his affairs much better than his father. So he wanted to get away. That desire, of course, was born of an old nature that is in every man. You remember the first thing that Adam did after he sinned? Do you remember? I'll tell you what it was. He hid from God. He heard the voice of the Lord God in the garden, and he hid from God. You see, Adam was now a sinner. Prior to that, prior to his fall into sin, when he would have heard the voice of the Lord God, he would have run in the direction of the voice. But now, he's running in the other direction. Because he's a sinner. His heart is given over to sin. His heart is depraved. He has an old, crooked, wicked, depraved nature. And it's evident out there in the world, boys and girls, and it's evident here as well, amongst us. On one occasion, the Lord Jesus said this to the multitude, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. They sought the Lord Jesus not because they admired him, not because they reverenced him, not because they recognized that he was God, because of the miracles that he had done. But they came just to fill their bellies, to see if they could get another free meal. Because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labour not for the meat which perisheth, But for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. That's John chapter 6, in the verses 26 and 27. The Lord Jesus said, there's another meat that I give. Not a meat that perishes. Not a meat that has a very short lifespan. But there's a meat I give you which is meat unto everlasting life. Seek after that. Oh, boys and girls, the Savior says to you today, seek the eternal things that he can give. The prodigal wandered away from his father to seek after the meat that perisheth. No time for the good things that his father did provide him with. He wanted what the world could give him. And so he demanded that he might get away. Oh, it shows his blindness. As a preacher, I have looked out on this world for a good many days now, and I have grieved and mourned over the evident blindness of men and women all around me. The blindness of the prodigal is very clear. He's blind to the good things in his father's house. Can't see them. Can't see them. Can't see any reason to stay. All he can see are reasons to go, because he's blind to the benefits of his father's house. How is it with you this morning? Are you blind to the benefits that Christ gives? Listen to these words, found in Isaiah, the opening verses, really, of the book of Isaiah. That's chapter 1, in other words, and the verses 2 and 3. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass or the donkey his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. The donkey and the ox, considered by men as two of the dumbest animals in creation, the dopiest animals in creation, are wiser than sinners. Why? Well, let a man go into a field where these animals are, with hay in his arms, and they'll come over right away. They'll recognize what it is he has brought. They'll recognize the benefits that he is bringing to them. But sinners don't recognize that the arms of God are filled with blessings that cannot be measured. The blessings of heaven, the blessings of everlasting life, the blessings of pardon from sin. God's arms are filled with these things. Yet when he stands, unlike the ox and the ass, which will come to the farmer who has hay in his arms, sinners will turn their back on God with all these bounties he has for them, and they'll run away from him, likely laughing and sniggering. Aye, it shows the blindness of the prodigal. Poor, foolish boy. He didn't know the value of that which he was turning his back upon, nor did he realize the danger that he was heading toward. The spirit of resistance to God's calls, God's invitations, the blessings of the gospel, is what made the Lord Jesus weep over Jerusalem. Let me tell each one of you who today is saved, we should have a spirit of weeping. When we look out on the world, we should have something of the feelings of the Lord Jesus regarding that world. Let me read to you Luke 19, verses 41 and 42. And when he was come near, he beheld the city. That is, he looked down from the top of the Mount of Olives. And oh, what a view you have of Jerusalem from that mountain. He beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day. You take note of those wee words. If thou had known in this thy day. You see, it was a day of opportunity. It was a day in which the blessings of God were being presented to Jerusalem, but they didn't know it. The things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. You know, God will display the benefits and the bounty of the gospel for a time, and when he is refused, he will take them away. Again, we read A similar passage, Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. That's a lovely picture. Sad to say, very, 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 very few of you, if any of you, have ever seen a hen doing that. When I was young, virtually every boy and girl would have known immediately what the Saviour was talking about. They would have seen this happening. They would have been absolutely familiar with it. In the springtime, when Mother Hen had hatched out her little chicks, and what a picture that was, boys and girls, and out they would come from their little shells, and from that day forward she would lead them out into the farmyard, just to pick about, and it was so interesting just to watch her and listen to her, because she would, you know how hens will step forward and scratch and then step back again and look at what they have scratched and pick out anything there that's edible. Well, that's what she will do with her little chicks. She'll step forward, she'll do the scraping with her claws, then she'll step back and she'll start picking about, and she'll make a wee noise, a clucking noise, and all the chicks will immediately gather over. And she's dabbing away, only she's not eating, as she normally would. She's just dabbing, showing them, here's what you do. I've scratched away the surface, and underneath there are little creepy crawlies that are delicious for little chicks, and here's how you pick them up. And she teaches. And then if there's danger, a hawk, the old mother hen can see that hawk, and as soon as she sees the hawk, she'll give another clucking sound, and all the chicks will gather in round her and disappear under her wings, just disappear into her feathers, and she'll squat down on them to protect them from the hawk. How often when you saw that happening, it wasn't too long until a wee head would pop out from the feathers, here and there and yonder, and it's the wee chicks to see what's going on, and they'd pull back in again. And that's the picture the Lord Jesus draws to the attention of those he's speaking to, and he's saying, that's what I would do with you. You're in danger. I'm calling you by the gospel to come to me and find safety under my feathers. But you won't heed me. That was the spirit of the prodigal. He was in the safety of his father's house, but he wanted away. He wanted away. Oh, how discontent he was with what his father offered to him. Examine your heart today. Examine your heart today. Are you discontent with the gospel, with Jesus Christ, with God? Would you rather be away from the sound of the gospel than listening to the voice of the world? Oh, answer that question honestly and sincerely, and recognize where you stand today in relationship to the Lord. Let's bow in prayer. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll speak to hearts. How crafty and cunning is the devil. What attractions he can set forth before the eyes of the sinner to deceive, to destroy, aye, to damn. O God, give eyes to see the beauties of Christ, and may there be a running after him among our children. Bless all in the school today, especially those unable to be here because of sickness. Remember them today. Look down upon our school with kindness, Lord, and bless us. For Jesus' sake, amen.